Would you turn, please, to the book of Acts and chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to read two of my favorite gospel verses. Each of them is about salvation, one in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament. Beginning in Acts chapter 4, we're going to read verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the words of the Apostle Peter. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now another verse, back in the book of Exodus, please, in chapter 14, the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus. This time it's not the words of Peter, but the words of Moses, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. It is the story of the crossing of the Red Sea. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. One of the things that I've come to love as a believer is this. That we see truth in our New Testament, and where that truth is given in the New Testament, we can go to the Old Testament, which is called the picture book of the Bible, and we can see that truth in picture form. Now, I've read to you of salvation from the lips of the Apostle Peter. I turn to Exodus 14, I have a picture of salvation in the story of the crossing of the Red Sea. I just want to draw five little things from that message tonight, or for that picture tonight, and ask all of us to think about what we've been listening to. That is the great salvation of God. For a moment or so, could I take you to Acts 4 and ask you to consider this? The Apostle Peter had been a fisherman. He had been a follower of the Lord Jesus. When we come to Acts chapter 4, Peter is a man who knows very well that Christ had died on the cross of Calvary. And he knows very well that the Lord Jesus, who went into death at Calvary, has come out again from among the dead. And Peter was one of those who watched them leave and go back to heaven. Peter now is preaching the great message of salvation. Who's he preaching to in Acts chapter 4? Let me just tell you something. He's preaching to people who believe in God. He's preaching to people who are religious people. He's preaching to people who have the Scriptures. He's preaching to people who would tell you that they believe the Scriptures. He's preaching to individuals who know the Ten Commandments. And they would tell you they live by the Ten Commandments. He's preaching to people who believe this, that they belong to God, and all is well. But there's one sad thing. They don't know Christ, and they are not saved. And Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now there's not much you can do with the word must. It means what it says. must be saved. These would be people who thought their religion was sufficient. These would have been individuals who thought their traditions would have been sufficient. They would have thought that what they had from Moses, because that came from God, would have been sufficient. But all the time they missed the reality of it all. That everything in the Old Testament pointed to Christ, and Christ is the only one who brings to God or takes a soul to heaven. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can I ask you tonight, soberly and in the presence of God, are you saved? I'm not asking, do you believe in God? I'm not asking if you have a Bible. I'm not asking how you live. I'm asking, are you saved? Because Peter said, must be saved. I want to go back just for the time that we have here tonight to a little story known to the boys and girls and certainly known to everybody in this meeting tonight. It is the story of Moses and the children of Israel. And I'd like to remind you, there's a land behind them where they never knew anything but slavery and sorrow. There's a promised land ahead of them. They want to get there. And in the 14th chapter of the book of Exodus, a people hoping to get away from here and be there come up against the Red Sea. I'll ask you to think with me, first of all, of these three things. Number one, between where they are and where they want to be, there's an obstacle. That obstacle is the Red Sea. Can I tell you tonight? Because very likely, everybody in this meeting wants to be there. I doubt if I'm wrong on that. Not likely there's anybody in this meeting who does not want to be in heaven. But there's an obstacle between them and where they want to be. Now just quickly, there's an obstacle between every one of us and God's heaven. And that obstacle is sin. And sometime or other, we will come up against the problem between ourselves and God. You can face it when you're a child. You can face it in middle age. You're bound to face it sometime. Mind you, many leave it till it's too late. So the children of Israel have been coming from the land of Egypt on their way to the land of Canaan. And they come to the Red Sea. So number one, an obstacle ahead of them. Have you ever confronted this obstacle of your sin? The greatest problem we have, the Bible speaks of it, is something that all of us have. God says, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. None righteous, no, not one, would be the words of the Lord in the Psalms and in the book of Romans chapter 3. All need to come to the reality of sin. Face it while you can. But number one, then, if there's an obstacle ahead, could I ask you to notice this? There's an enemy behind. Why, these people, they looked ahead and saw trouble. But they looked back. And on this particular occasion, when they looked back, the Egyptian army is coming after them. Now what do? They can't go ahead. Here comes the enemy. Here comes those that will take them back into slavery. And a future with no hope. I'd like to tell you tonight, it's a problem between you and God. But number two, There's something coming on your trail. There's an enemy that's after you. Friend, listen. Our Bible speaks of a being called Satan as a roaring lion, the enemy of souls, enemy of God, enemy of Christ, enemy of the gospel. And he wants you not there, but back in the land of sin and slavery. He wants you in the place of no hope. He'll have you in that fire that we've been hearing about, made for the devil and his angels. Obstacle ahead, enemy behind. If you were just to think for a moment with me of the geography of where they were at this time, you'd know this, that while there's an obstacle ahead and an enemy behind, there's nothing but an emptiness on either side of them. In fact, if we read the story, we'd learn this, that the old king behind them said, "They're entangled in the land, I've got them." And he knows this, they can't go ahead. And no matter what they do, this way, left or right, I've got them. What am I saying to you? Friend, listen, I'm saying this. Not only the obstacle of your sin ahead, not only the enemy of Satan behind, but you turn left or right instead of dealing with the problem of the Red Sea of your sin. You turn left or right in terms of this world. And you'll find it's an empty place, and the devil can grin and rub his fingers and say this, "I've got them." You turn away from the gospel, and Satan will say, "I've got him." Because there's nothing left or right but to confront the problem ahead is the only option. Now it's in this kind of a situation. There's a problem between them and where they want to go. The Red Sea. Here's the problem behind. No point in going either way. And it's in that situation that God told Moses to tell the people these words. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's a beautiful picture. I want to leave with you five things about this Red Sea experience. Five simple things. But I want you to think of this crossing of the Red Sea. Now you all know the story. And my mind really is not so much on the Red Sea. But it's on the provision God has made at the place called Calvary. Where the biggest problem you and I have can be taken away. Where Christ died for sinners. Five things. Number one then, you know what happened. The Red Sea opened. Sometimes when we're in Sunday school singing with the children, I suppose you do it here at Kamloops, we sing a little chorus. How did Moses cross the Red Sea? What is it? Did he run? Did he jump? Did he fly? Did he rent out a whole bunch of pumps? Did he tell the people to get a whole bunch of buckets? What am I saying to you? Who provided the way across the Red Sea? It wasn't by anything that Moses or the people did. He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Point number one, God provided the opening in the water. God provided the way through. God provided the way from here to there. God removed the problem. Friend, listen, what can you and I do about our problem called sin? Nothing. Not by running or jumping or flying or buckets or anything else. Not by religion, not by good deeds, not by anything. God alone provides salvation. And He does so in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, you notice in connection with the little story, not only is it true that it's God who provided the way through. Every boy or girl knows my second point. How many ways through were there? How many ways were there through the water? Did they have a choice? Number one, number two, or number three? Could they say, I'm going to go to the right, you go to the left? Oh, listen, the boys and girls, no, that's not so. It's only one way. Now, the Old Testament, I said, is full of pictures. Simple, beautiful pictures. How many ways of salvation are there? How many remedies of sin are there? How many ways are there to heaven for you and for me? One. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am one of the ways. He didn't say, I am a way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What did He say next? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's the Lord Jesus in John 10 who says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And you can go on with various pictures in your Bible, and you'll see this truth coming out over and over again. One way to heaven, one way to the Red Sea. Neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Might I ask you to notice in connection with this little Old Testament story? Not only then this big problem ahead, but God provides the solution. Not only that God provides one solution. But could I ask you to think of this for a minute? That what God provided was sufficient. Do you hear any complaining in the story when you read on from here into Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and so on? Do you hear Moses saying, well, I'm glad I made it, but my little sister, my little brother didn't? Do you hear any of the Israelites say, I'm glad I did, but oh, some of my family didn't? No, listen, folks. This way through that God provided was sufficient. Wait a second. Wait a second. Is it possible that one of these days there'll be people right here in Kamloops saying, I'm saved. I'll be in heaven. My brother's not there. My sister's not there. My son or my daughter's not there. Wait a second. The way through the Red Sea was sufficient for every Israelite. They all went through. Anybody here tonight not saved? I tell you, Christ is sufficient for the whosoever. Christ and the work of Calvary, what He did on the cross, is sufficient for every man, woman, boy, girl here tonight. But it doesn't mean you're all going to be in heaven. Can I ask you to think of a fourth point? I believe this beautiful story that's back there in Exodus 14. Now let me tell you what I do believe about it. I believe that if I could have been there with a camera, I would have seen the waters opened up and I would have seen the people go through, as the Bible says, on dry land. Now that's what I believe, because that's what the Bible says. But tell you something. If you and I could jump on an airplane, fly over to Egypt, get a jeep or a car and go up the Red Sea, either side, up, down, whatever you want, you won't find a spot. You will not find a spot where you can walk through on dry land today. Probably just a second. If you could have gone to the Red Sea in the days of Abraham, gone up and down, you wouldn't have found a spot where you could have walked through on dry land. It wasn't there in Abraham's day. It's not there in our day. You want to cross today, you better get a plane or a bridge. But it was there on the day that Moses needed it. Now what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying to you. That when these people come to the Red Sea and find they can't get across, it's then that God provided a way through. But that way was not there before and it's not there since. When I come to this wonderful truth of the New Testament that we call salvation, I learned this. That salvation will not always be available. It's the Apostle Paul who gives us these words. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You say, what about next week? What about next year? What about when I'm older? Friend, listen. There are certain realities of life we all need to face. One is this. The Lord Jesus could come at any time. I know a man in Grand Prairie who keeps saying this. He's coming today. He's coming today, says this man, because there's no such thing as tomorrow. You know what? I think he's right. You know what he's saying, don't you? But the point is, the Lord could come at any moment. It's the Lord Jesus who said this. Luke 13, when once the master of the house is risen up and shut to the door, and ye began to stand without and to knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Ample pictures in our Bible that salvation won't always be available. Dear friends, the reality is, we look back to a time when God sent His Son into this world. And on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus did what no one else could do. He paid the great price of redemption. He finished the work of salvation. And we now live in what we call the day of grace. It will come to an end. When it comes to an end, you're either saved or not, saved or lost. Can I ask you to think of one other thing in relation to this story? Every person here tonight, boy or girl, knows the story, and you know this. The Israelites all went through. The Egyptians tried and died. Now think of something for a minute. At the end of the day, when it's all over, there was a place where the Red Sea was open. The Israelites could say, there's the spot where we were saved.
we went through. Yes, but
the other side of the story is this. There is the place where the Egyptians died. What was life for one was death for the other. What was life for one was death for the other. What am I saying to you? I want to take you ahead for a moment. There is coming a day, make no mistake about it. There is coming a day when all the saved, men, women, boys and girls, all who have trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, will be in the presence of Christ. What are they doing? Well, I know this from my Bible. One thing is this. They're going to be singing the praises of the Lord Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And the redeemed, the saved, will be singing the praises of the Savior. And with the Lord for all of eternity. Why is that? It's because of Calvary. It's because of Calvary. It's because of the way through. It's because of what God did. It's because of the one way that God provided. Multitudes will sing as Israel sang, likely a lot better, and a better song. And wait a second. On the other side, it's a little story in Luke 16. You likely all know it. Of a man called Abraham saying to another man, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime. And I'm saying to you, because of what Christ has done, on the one hand, the saved will sing the praise of God, of the Lord Jesus, praise of the Redeemer. On the other hand, those who don't go while it's God's time, are going to remember, I could have been saved. I should have been saved. But it's too late. A place of life is a place of death. Calvary is God's basis for providing salvation for the whosoever's of this world. Calvary will be God's basis for judging the Christ rejecters of this world. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to tell you tonight that salvation is only in Christ and through the work that he did on the cross of Calvary. Shall we pray?